Thank you. Thank you, worship team. That was wonderful. God bless you. Uh, 2018 already. It's quite hard to believe and imagine another year has already passed us by. And when I was praying, contemplating and thinking about the sermon for New Year, I thought about going back to the basics. And it starts with thanks be to God. And the older you get, well, I just turned 54 in December. I may have told you that before. It's quite a shock to me. I can't get over it because I still feel the same. And that is eternity that God has placed in the heart of man. But when I see this old guy looking back at me in the mirror, I think, oh my God. And we see death and decay all around us. But God has placed eternity in the heart of man. That's why we don't feel any older. But we certainly do get older. And nobody can stop time. So as we enter 2018, a new year, there's time to look back on the last year, to reflect, for us to self-reflect, to ponder, and to learn, and to thank God for the things that went well, and perhaps that we did well. A time to reflect where we failed and could do better, and a time to make amends. And it made me realize there's one thing, that we're not in control in this world, in this life, as much as we think we are. 2017 was a difficult year for us as a church, for me personally, and for some of you guys also. We lost family members. My mum passed away last year. And these things really impact us. I know there's several people in this fellowship sat here this morning that are deeply impacted through death of family. And it's a time to reflect, a time to say goodbye, and a time to thank God for life, and to really think about what we're here for, because this life is fleeting. The Bible says we're like a flower that blossoms one day, then the wind comes and blows, and we're no more. So, as I've been reflecting, pondering, musing, we're Christians and we're called to do the impossible. God really asks us to do the impossible. And how do we succeed in doing the impossible? The first commandment, we're called to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And I fail miserably. And we fail miserably. We're instructed to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We have biological family, and that's very close and personal to us. But we also have a spiritual family. And where do we make that distinction? Because Jesus did not. When they said, your mother and your brother are outside, he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? But those that do the will of God. What are we to do? I think we need to go back to the basics and just have a look what the Bible instructs us to do. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. And through us he spreads everywhere the fragrance and the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ amongst those being saved. And to those who are perishing, to the one we are the smell of death. The other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. Paul is talking to the Corinthian church in chapter 2. And he's gone through some real hardship, persecution, and suffering. And the church isn't in a great place. And he's not coming to a great welcome. But he starts off with thanksgiving. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphant procession. Paul was playing on words, on an expression that would be really known to the Corinthian people with the Roman influence. A triumphant procession was when the Roman generals would march with their chariots and drag behind them the defeated enemies, perhaps even some Christians on the way to the Colosseum. And this is the image that Paul is pushing. This triumphant procession. And he flips it around. And how we may see that triumphant procession is perhaps when the troops on the Tikitaka are coming back from battle and we're cheering them on. But Paul flips this right around as God leading Paul and us Christians in like the chariot of Ezekiel with the wheels within a wheel and God at the helm and us on the journey to the cross. This is the image Paul was using to them. That this triumphant procession is the death of ourself. As Paul was going to his death, maybe he knew. We're all in a queue, friends. We're all in a queue to die. But this spiritual death. A book, one of the first Christian books I've ever read was called The Calvary Road by Roy Hessian. It's a little thin book, maybe 50, 75 pages. Can't really remember, but it's a quick read. But it's one of the most difficult books because it speaks about the death of ourself, about us bowing the knee. And we say in jest, the problem with the living sacrifice is that it jumps off the altar. Because we don't want to die. But that's the life the Lord has called us to. And it's painful. And we resist it. I resist it. So Paul has put this image. And this image is of us and Paul preaching the gospel. Now we might not all be ministers of the gospel, but we're all called to share our testimonies. We're all called to share the gospel in our own circle of influence, maybe not at a pulpit like Paul was doing. And that is a smell of life, a sweet, fragrant offering to God. And to those people that are being saved. But to the others, it's the stench of decaying flesh. Of like you've unscrewed a coffin that's been buried in hot heat for 2 or 3 weeks. Like rotting meat. That stench. And that's what we are to the people that don't want to receive the message of Christ. We're the stench of death to them. Who is equal to such a task? We are called to do the impossible. But Paul interrupts this with this question, who is sufficient in these things? Who is equal to such a task? And Paul certainly isn't taking any credit here for anything. Yet, in Paul's weakness, he was adequate. Because of God's triumphs. And because of Jesus Christ's triumphs upon the cross. And today, the 7th of January, the Orthodox Christmas, where we're celebrating the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, and his resurrection. It is because of Christ. Paul was adequate. He wasn't afraid of people's opinion. He didn't need any recommendation from the church. He knew who he was, his calling. He didn't deny or hide his vulnerability. On the contrary, he rejoiced in his weakness. And he says that in many places. In his letters he says, but I come to you in weakness. I come to you in the frailty of human flesh. With all what that brings. But he didn't let it stop him. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel. See, Paul was inadequate, but God's triumphs made him adequate. See, Paul is addressing that there's people how can I word this? That some Christians want all the benefits of Christianity, as in eternal life, as in all the benefits that that brings, but perhaps they don't want to die to themselves. And Paul was showing here that death is necessary. And this is the basic position. Not about money. He didn't peddle the gospel for money or for fame. On the opposite, he was outcast. He was misunderstood. He was beaten. Near death, how many times? And all that he considered gain in his previous life of this religious man, he counted it nothing for the sake to suffer in the gospel for Christ. And I think as a Christian, I certainly have struggled with that. And perhaps in the 21st century, we miss that suffering that we're called to suffer. We're called to suffer. And we sometimes pray immediately, you know, oh Lord, I rebuke you, Satan, deliver me from this, you know. And it was God, the Holy Spirit, that led Jesus into the desert to be tempted and tried for 40 days. And often God leads us down paths that we don't want to go. Painful paths. Where he does a work on us. Of death. That we somehow share in the sufferings of Christ. That's what it says in Philippians. That we somehow share in his sufferings to become like him. And we shrink back, we run away, and we wonder what's going on. And it's God who's led us and led me into positions like that. Well, I was doing some research and I was looking at these where Paul calls them peddlers of the gospel for profit. Life coaches. We have life coaches now. They don't preach the gospel. They want the benefits of Christianity, but it's watered down. It's mixed up. You can click on this podcast and that podcast, and for $9.99 they'll send you this lesson, and for $24 you can sign up for this lesson, and for $50 you can have these 7 steps of a life coach, of the blessings from God. And we can name it, we can claim it, and we can frame it. And Paul goes on. Chapter 3, verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves once again? Are we beginning to commend ourselves once again? Or do we need, like some people, a letter of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you're a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves or claim anything for ourselves. But our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not by the letter, but by the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The law just points out that we're sinners. And this is the letter Paul's talking about, these tablets. These are the Ten Commandments. But all they do is point out that we're sinners. They don't give us any resolution. But Christ came and lived and died so we could live. And he imparted grace and mercy and his Holy Spirit into us. And the Spirit gives life. Someone was obviously asking Paul for credentials for him to go and visit the church that he planted. Can you imagine that? And he said, like I need a letter of recommendation to you or from you. It's like asking David Adderholt if he wants to come and visit ICS, that we'd have to give him a letter of recommendation so he can get over the threshold. Paul planted the church, but it's God that made it grow. Paul says in another part, you know, Paulus or I, it's God that gives the increase. We have nothing. Paul was stating loud and clear he was not going to allow the church to measure his effectiveness. They didn't like the way he was doing things. Maybe it didn't mix with their culture. This Jewish man coming to Corinth, where the Roman culture and the Roman way of doing things, but he was doing it God's way. And he wasn't afraid to upset some people, because he knew he was called by God and answerable to God and accountable to God, because that's what he lived for. Paul's credentials were not written on tablets of stone like the commandments, but they were written by the Holy Spirit on human hearts. The effectiveness of his ministry, of his preaching, the living word of God, as God saves, as God's word goes forth and does what we cannot do. We preach it, we share it. It's God that saves people. We're just called to share it. And if people accept it, if we're the smell of life, praise God. But if we're the stench of death to them and they despise us and hate us, praise God. Praise God. This world will never accept us. So we're wasting our time trying to be accepted by people who reject the gospel And we become so PC that we're frightened of even saying anything about the gospel, especially in this day and age. But there's nothing new under the sun. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Imagine going there and preaching the gospel. Nothing new under the sun. The Spirit gives life, because under the new covenant of grace, by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that a third time, because Satan and his demons of hell have no answer for the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of that blood that we're saved. It's because of that blood that we have grace. It's because of that blood that we're brothers and sisters. It's because of that blood and nothing that we've done or can do. And we're enabled by the Spirit of God to live for God, to minister for God, to share of what God. It's all through grace. It's all through love. What is the Holy Spirit writing on your heart this morning, this year? What is God writing on my heart? Saved by grace. What has He for us this year? What is God saying through His Spirit to you? What is God doing through His Spirit in your life and in my life? Constantly inadequate. How can we, with our weakness, with our confusion, with our inadequacy, how can we write letters on hearts? How can we do the supernatural? But such confidence as this is ours through Christ and before God. Not that we're competent in ourselves. Not that we're adequate in ourselves. Or take credit for anything ourselves. And by not taking credit and recognizing our weakness, that's the very thing that qualifies us. And this is what Paul was saying. It wasn't his education. It wasn't what he'd done previously. It's what God had done on the cross. And in Romans 8, we went through it last year, everything was flipped upside down for Paul. He considered all that stuff dung. Now it has value. Education is good. Seminars are good. Books are good. I've read hundreds of them. I love reading. They're all good. They're beneficial. They help us. But they don't qualify us. They don't make us competent. Because we're inadequate. It's only God. Only His Spirit, only His love, only His mercy, only His grace. And this is the foundation. Whether I'm up here, or whether a PhD, or whether a professor from Oxford, a don that has more degrees, and it doesn't make him qualified. Now, I'm not diminishing any education. I love education. It has its place. It's great. But you know what? We're equal. The blood of Jesus is our adequacy. It is our competency. It is our confidence. Paul had no confidence in the flesh, nothing in himself. It comes from the Holy Spirit, for the law kills, but the Holy Spirit bridges. It gives freely and it imparts. And we cannot take for granted or take what God has done and our inadequacy is made adequate through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is it, friends. That is the starting point and that is the finishing point. I bring nothing to the table. My degrees, my education, my books, my knowledge, yes, they're good. But they don't make me adequate. In fact, they disqualify me. Can we take credit for God's work? God does take our experience, our education, our books, our knowledge, our seminars, but they're not enough. They're not enough. They won't cut the mustard. Our gifts, our talents are God given. The breath in our lungs is a gift from God. The only thing that makes us effective or Paul effective was God himself and the blood of Jesus and the Holy Spirit living in us. Have you listened here what Paul, and I dare say it, was a Pentecostal. And I'm having a fun and play on words here. Paul was a man of the Spirit. He was a man of the Spirit. And he recognized the difference between religion, the law, rules and regulations, and the freedom that God brought through the cross. And Jesus said, it's better if I go and I will send you the Comforter, the Counselor, to be with you, to lead you, to guide you, to help you, to be a constant help in time of need. Paul was saying his calling was from God, and that's who he was responsible to. Paul was living in a time of transition. We read the Bible from 21st century perspective. It wasn't easy for Paul. The Jewish religion was coming out and the grace was coming in. The new covenant was coming in through Jesus Christ. Where God had moved from dwelling in temples made by the hands of men to dwelling in temples made by the hands of God. And that is you and me. That is you and me. And we've got something the world hasn't got. And the world can't take it away. It can't. And we have a message the world wants to hear and needs to hear. But they don't realize it. And time is short. Time is short. He's the vine, we're the branches. God in us. And that's as radical today as it was then. It's as radical today as it was then. That God lives in you and he lives in me and he shines his light in and through us and we're the smell of sweet fragrance offering of life unto God. Or we're the stench of rotten, decaying flesh to those who reject the gospel. Yes, we will be misunderstood. Yes, we're going to be labeled dinosaurs. We're going to be called intolerant, radical, religious fools. So what? So what? We'll be sneered at, we'll be ignored, we'll be left out, we'll be laughed at. But it doesn't matter. Because nothing changes. No matter how worthy or unworthy we feel. It's not about our feelings. Emotions are good, they're great, God gave us them. I'm not dissing them. But it doesn't matter how we feel. We're adequate through Him alone. Through his blood alone, by his spirit alone. The truth is nothing changes that. It matters how matters very little how we feel, how uncertain, how overwhelmed. The resource comes from Him. The life comes from Him. So, conclusion. Back to basics. With thanksgiving. It all starts there. Thanks be to God that leads us to death. I tried to borrow a machete or a big sword. I've asked loads of people. I couldn't have one. Couldn't find one. I used to have a big bayonet from a First World War rifle that stuck on the end of the rifle when they run out of bullets and they would charge at you. This big bayonet over the top, and whether they got shot to bits, they would kill the enemy. And we got to turn that bayonet on ourselves. Me, you, and put the old man to death to make room for Christ. Don't be afraid to preach the gospel, to share truth. Life is short. Maya was knitting some wool socks for a neighbor of ours. He was an old alcoholic. We tried to help him on a couple of occasions, took him some food and he'd throw up and we'd run back. He's a neighbor. And as Maya's knitting his sock, we went to the shop yesterday and he died. And I never shared the gospel with him. And he lived there, an old drunk, facing us. It's like seeing a house on fire and walking past. God forgive me. I'm ashamed. But we don't have to be, because what we have to share is life. And we're not responsible whether people accept it or reject it. We just say it. And it may be a barren time. Maybe winter, even though the sun's out, there's no leaves on the tree. But going back to the fall and autumn in that beautiful season, all them seeds are underground right now, germinating, getting ready to bear fruit. And it might not feel very fruitful, but it's God that gives the increase. God's work. We're just asked to share. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for being good to us, that you lead us in a triumphant procession on our way to heaven and on our way to dying to self. Help us not resist that. Help us, O God, to bow the knee. Help us to recognize that we are adequate through you, not through ourselves. And it's our inadequacy, it's our weakness, it's our vulnerability that actually qualifies us. And I pray, Lord, you show me, you show us what that looks like in Skopje in 2018. Help us to be faithful to your prompting, who to speak to, who to tell about your mercy and grace and your triumph on the cross, and what you can do for a dying world. Strengthen us, bind us together in love, unity, and one accord. We ask in Jesus' name.